favorite part? Y'all thirsting her to death. I love that song. Some of y'all look like y'all scared to death. Some of y'all actually kind of knew how it went. It was this section right here that knew how it went. It was all you old folks didn't know what it was doing. I think you can sing it a little better than that, though. If you, some of you got to know it because you heard it on the radio 5 billion times. And right when I left Gold City, we were recording it. And I was going through the process of recording it, and then I left, so somebody else had to do it. That's all right, though. But I fell in love with the song in the studio. But I like that chorus because it just says, sing it with me right here. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. And all my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood. All my sins have been forgiven. It don't mean I don't sin. But they've all been forgiven. There is cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up again. Some of y'all don't get excited like I get excited. That's all right with me. I don't care. I still am excited about my salvation. As a 9-year-old boy, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Victory Baptist Church in a K-4 classroom. Brother Hugh Taylor took the Word of God, knelt down by one of them little blue chairs that is way too little nowadays. And he took a quarter. Took a quarter out of his pocket. And he says, it's unto you. But it's only upon you if you take it. And he took those scriptures and he said, it's unto you. But it's only upon them that believe. He said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that very moment, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I believed in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to 1 Corinthians 15. And I ain't never got over it. I ain't always been good. I ain't always done the right thing. I've messed up. But man, I ain't never got over it. He still died on the cross for my sins. We're going to have a good day today. We ain't going to do a whole lot of preaching. Amen. Everybody say amen. It's fine. I don't. You ain't going to hurt my feelings. It'll be all right. We're going to have a baptism service, and I'm excited about it, and I'm nervous all at the same time. You see, they haven't been baptized yet, and I ain't never baptized anybody before. It's going to be good. I know how it works, but if somebody drowns, it ain't my fault. I told everybody. I told all of them. Ain't I done this before, huh? If I mess something up, it's all on me, I promise you. And I just thought my wife was mad at me already. Whew. You might have to call somebody, a life. No, it's going to be good. Or something. I don't know what it'll be yet, but it'll be something. But I count it an honor to be able to do it. Man, to see somebody that's accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And then they want to go before the church and they want to just display that. Say, you know what? I believed in that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That water don't get you saved. You can... times it don't make you any more saved, just makes you more wet. But guess what? It's a good picture. It's something going before the church saying, hey, I am publicly displaying that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I remember doing it as a 9-year-old boy. I remember getting up in there and Brother Steve Sanders doing that baptismal service for me. And I remember just thinking, you know, I just got overwhelmed with it. Man, what did I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and I get to tell everybody in the church about it. I was excited about it. Some of these young people, I'm not going to speak for Scott, I don't know him. Some of these young people, they're real nervous. It's all right to be nervous. I don't know if they're nervous about drowning. I don't know if they're nervous about getting wet. I don't know what they're nervous about. They're nervous about something. But I remember being in that place and me being nervous. But at the same time, being so excited to be able to stand before the church and say, hey, this is what I did. This is what Jesus Christ did for me. This is what Jesus Christ shed his blood for so that I could have an eternity in heaven when I didn't deserve it. I remember being so excited about those things. And this morning we're going to preach. I don't have a message. You get them messages where you got points and you've got poems and you got all this garbage that goes along with it. I ain't got one of them. Amen. I got a Bible and I got a whole lot of preach I want to do. Just a whole, I'm eat up with preach. Some of y'all say, I don't know what that means. You ought to get on some of it every once in a while. It would do you good to get a little preach up in you every once in a while. You'd feel excited. You'd feel re-energized. I'm here to tell you right now, you might just go tell somebody about Jesus Christ if you get a little preach on you. Two of y'all with me. The rest of you, I don't care. I ain't never been scared of a quiet Baptist. The Pentecostals shouting the house down. Ain't got nothing to shout for. Y'all can't shout for nothing. And y'all know what you're supposed to be shouting for. I made everybody mad, that one comment right there. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. We're just going to let go of the pulpit for a little while. I can't read it when I'm up there anyway, so I might as well stay down here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. The Bible says that at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Having no hope. We just sang, all my hope is in Jesus Christ. All my hope is in Jesus Christ. He's the one who died on the cross for your sins. But at one point in time, you had no hope. You had none. All your eternity was settled. Your eternity was just to spend an eternity in hell. Nobody preaches on that anymore. It's uncomfortable to say hell in church, right? Amen. My Bible still says it. Amen. Amen. Whether you like it or not. Amen. I like it when he says amen. Had no hope. There was a point in time in my life when I had no hope. None. I was destined for hell. I deserved it. I deserved it. You see, I know that I was a lost sinner. Yeah, as a 9-year-old boy, maybe I hadn't done all the things that everybody else had done. Hadn't drank, hadn't smoked, hadn't done all those things. Hadn't done all the bad things that we say you shouldn't do, right? And although I may have been a relatively good kid, you know, I had that drug problem where your daddy dragged you to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, blah, 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 yeah. I had that real bad. My dad took me to church everywhere. Go on vacation, go to camp meetings. Hated it. But now I'm thankful for it. Why? Because I got to hear men get up in that pulpit and just preach it straight out of that book. I didn't care about being popular. They didn't care about making everybody happy all the time. They just wanted to see one more soul walk down that aisle. That's all they wanted. They wanted one more person to say, hey, I need Jesus in my life. And they were excited about it. You see, there was a point in time when you had no hope. When you had no hope in your life. If you turn over to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. No hope! You were there. Some of you may still be there. Let's just get real. Just because you showed up on Sunday morning at church service don't mean you got hope. Now, I know I got it. I can't speak for the rest of you. I know who I think got it. I know them ones I'm going to baptize in a little bit. I've talked to them. I got to lead one of them to the Lord. And you see, I know that I think they got it. But only you truly know if you do. I can sit back and I can't tell you the date and I can't tell you the exact time. But I know as a 9-year-old boy, I knelt down in that chair. And I said, Lord, please forgive me. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you were buried and I believe you rose again the third day. And as a 9-year-old boy, I know that happened. I can't tell you the date. I know they get all hyped up on times and dates. I don't care about times and dates. I care about experiences. I care about the moment that you sit there and say, hey, there was a moment in my life when I came down here and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. You ought to remember the moment. You may not remember what day it was, what preacher was preaching, what he was preaching on. But I do remember the moment. I remember when I just said, you know what? I ran just long enough. And I said I had no hope. And I found hope. You see, I found it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. Romans 8 and verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth yet he hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You see, we're saved by hope. You can't see God, can you? If you say you have, I got plenty of scripture says you ain't, okay? Amen. You ain't seen God. I don't care what they tell you on TV. He ain't showing up like that, okay? You can't see Him. You can't see wind either. But boy, you can feel it. And when God moves in you, you ought to really feel it. This morning, do you have hope? When I say those things, when I talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, does it even mean anything to you? We talked about it a little bit this morning. I kind of made it in a reference to it. I said, you know, we hear things in church that are cliche all the time. They're just little phrases that we say, and we think we know what they mean, but when you break it all down, you really don't. When somebody gets up here and preaches about salvation, is that how it feels to you? Well, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how it works. But has there ever been a moment where you came to yourself and said, hey, I'm lost and I'm dying and going to hell? And I don't want to go. And I don't want to go. Has there ever been that moment in time in your life when you finally got the hope? You can't see it, but you know it's there. You may not always be able to understand everything about it, but you know that He died on the cross for your sins, and that's good enough. Maybe you don't even know how to put it all into words. I remember going to juvenile detention centers time after time after time and watching my dad and watching other men and me myself being able to lead people to the Lord. And I remember sitting there thinking, you know, that was a good place. You say, well, jail's not a good place for anybody. It was a good place for them boys. Why? Because they finally come to the realization of, hey, this is my only way out. I may be stuck under these bars forever. I may never get out of this situation, but God is still good. He still died for me even when I didn't deserve it. And there's boys right now that are sitting in jail cells right now that have God all over them. Yeah, they messed up. Yeah, they're having to pay the penalty for it, and they ought to have to pay that penalty. But I'm here to tell you right now, they're in them jails and they're preaching Jesus Christ anyway. Why? Because Jesus Christ can take the worst of the worst and just still give Him God. Jesus Christ died on that cross for everybody. You're not exempt. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how bad you are. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. Jesus Christ still came to him on a Damascus road. He said he was the chiefest of sinners. I figure if he can save the chief, it won't be hard to get the Indians in line, right? Amen to that. You ought to be pretty easy. But you're stuck in your ways, right? You're stuck in your ways. You're sitting there saying, I'm holding on to this pew. I'm holding on to this pew. I don't want to get up because it'll look embarrassing. I'm here to tell you right now, ain't nobody going to be embarrassed. Ain't nobody going to embarrass you if you come up here and say, hey, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And if they do, they ought to be up here. Amen. Shame on them. This is all about God, folks. It's all about what He did on the cross for you. When you didn't have hope, He can give you hope. We're fixing to go into Easter. Fixing to go into this Easter time, and everybody's getting ready for it. Everybody's ready for candy. Everybody's ready for eggs. Everybody's ready to go hunt stuff. I get it. I do it too, okay? I ain't one of them preachers going to preach against it. I understand it's got some bad stuff that goes along with it, but my kids are going to go hunt some Easter eggs. And I'm going to eat all that candy. And I hope they get one of them money ones too, because I want some of that too. Hey, man. They're 3-1. They don't know what to do with it. That's fine. I'm going to let them go hunt Easter eggs. I'm going to let them have a good time. We're going to dress up in nice clothes. Now, I'm not, because I can't afford to buy me something. But I'm going to make sure they got them something new. And I'm going to make sure they look cute and all that good stuff. I'm going to go preach a sunrise service. Amen to that. I get to get up for all y'all going to be up. Y'all ought to come to Montgomery and hear me preach Sunday morning on Easter. I'll be there at 7 o'clock. Y'all can make it back here, I promise. Y'all laughing. They showed up. I said something about checking your preacher out one time last week. Yeah, I don't remember if it was Sunday school, Sunday morning, whatever. But they showed up Sunday night to my church in Thorsby, Alabama. That's a long ride to come hear me sing a handful of songs and Ricky Atkinson. I wouldn't drive nowhere to see Ricky Atkinson. Exactly. No, they came that far. But here's the thing. We're going into this Easter season. We're getting ready to do all these things, and I understand there's a lot of things that may overshadow some things. But here's the deal. The most important part about Easter is the fact that He got up and He got out. You see, He died on that cruel Roman cross. He shed His blood for you. And that's a good part. He went through a lot of pain. He went through a lot of suffering. He went through a lot of anguish just for you. He shed His blood just for you. It had to be done. He willingly laid down His life for each and every one of us. You didn't kill Him. I know what they say, and I preached it before. It don't matter. You didn't do it. He willingly laid down His life for you. That means more, folks. If you could have killed Him, it wouldn't have been God. Woo. If you would have had anything to do with it, it would have just tainted it. You see, it didn't have anything to do with you. It was all God. I can imagine He's standing, He's hanging on that cross there, and God Almighty looks down and turns His back on His own Son. And Jesus Christ, and they're saying, hey, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In all the pain, in all the suffering, He's still thinking about you. He's still thinking about you. And ain't nobody ever died like Him. Ain't nobody ever died like that. Ain't nobody ever lived like Him. Perfect, sinless, 33 and a half years. About my Father's business, folks. Ain't nobody ever lived like Him. Ain't nobody ever died like Him. And ain't nobody ever got up at the grave like Him. You sit there and think about the stories in the Bible when them people get up out of them graves. Who's doing it? God's doing it. He walks by, they come out of them graves. Guess what? He did it on His own. He's laying in that tomb. I can just imagine. I can imagine the devil thinking he won. Yeah, he thought he won. You can just imagine, he dies on this cross, he sheds this blood, and he goes into this tomb, and the devil thinks, hey, I got Him. Now, the devil's smart. You see, he says, I know that He said in 3 days He'd rise, but I think we can hold Him just a little bit longer. I think we can keep Him here. And I can just imagine them going through all this and the devil having this conversation with demons and different things, and he's going through this process. And he's thinking, I have won this battle finally. He was mistaken. Because you see, 3 days later, Jesus Christ said, you know what, I'll roll that stone away. And I'm going to take this clothes and I'm going to fold that napkin. And I'm done with this place. I used to sing a song with the Anchorman called A Borrowed and Barely Used Tomb. That's exactly what it was. It was just borrowed. He didn't need it for a long time. He just needed it for a short while. That was all he needed it for. He just wanted somebody to sit there and say, you know what? I died on the cross. Put me right here for just a second. I don't need it forever. Just for a moment I need it. Just so that I can say I died. But then I'm going to raise on that third glorious day. And I'm going to do something that no other God has done and no other God will do. I don't care what you try to put your faith and trust in. I don't care what you try to think is right. Ain't none of them ever got out of the grave. Not a single one of them has walked out of the grave. They're still buried somewhere. They're still laying in a ground somewhere, in a tomb somewhere. Some of them been cremated. They thought that was a good way to get out of it. Ain't nobody ever raised like he raised. And he did that for you. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Come on now. He shed his blood for you. He gave his all for you so that you could have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what it was done for. This morning, I want you to take just a second and think, when was the time that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Did you have a moment in your mind? You should have had something that just clicked right there. Boom, it should have been there. If you don't have that, then you ought to get it settled. Today is the day of salvation, folks. Not tomorrow. You might not have tomorrow. You're not promised it. You don't understand. We live on borrowed time. God's coming back. Shocker. Yeah, that just, woo. Some of y'all are like, I don't believe he's coming back. They've been saying that for 50 years, 100 years. They were saying it when Paul was there. Paul said he's still looking for him, though. I figure if Paul was looking for him, I'd be looking a little harder. Amen. Yeah, if Paul was ready for it, it's probably a little closer than it was. I understand. Some of y'all say, well, this kind of preaching is not how we do it. Yeah, this kind of preaching is how you should do it. Somebody ought to get up here and tell you that if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to spend eternity in hell. That's just facts, folks. I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. I drive too far. I work and I try to get my studying in, and I put so many hours in it. I'm here to tell you, I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't for that. I wouldn't put all the time and the effort into it if I didn't think it was real. If I didn't think it could change your life. It can change your whole entire life. God moves into your life. I'm here to tell you right now, you know something happened. Now we get complacent. We kind of look something like today. Well, that ought to excite you just a little bit. That ought to get you pumped. That ought to make you excited about tomorrow. That ought to make you sit there and go, you know what, I got to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ today. If you have no desire to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, you ought to check up and see whether you be in the faith. I don't care what the Calvinists tell you. Amen. I'll amen myself. The pews and the walls would if they had mouth. Don't let the rocks cry out now. It'd be a shame. Some of y'all are like, I don't know what he's talking about. Read the Word of God. Study it to show that self approved that God's work need not be ashamed, rather than by the Word of truth. Do you good. Don't let the rocks cry out. You still got a mouth, right? You ought to get excited about your salvation. If you're not excited about it, then you ought to get some salvation. You ought to get some of that hope that I've been talking about. I want somebody to come play the piano. I told you I was going to preach fast. I did good. And everybody's getting more nervous by the minute. I'm pumped and ready to go now. I want everybody to stand to their feet. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today would be a good day. I'd love to be able to take the Word of God and open it up and show you how that you can know that you know that you know that you're saved. I can show you in the Word of God how that He died on the cross for your sins. It won't be something that I make up. It'll just be straight out of that book right there. You know, hey, we're going to have a baptismal service, and I know that's going to be a great thing, and everybody's excited about it. But they'd be excited if you just walked down right here and get saved too. I'm going to tell you right now, they'd be real excited about that. I'll come back and baptize you too. You won't be left out, I promise. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this would be the time to do it. As she plays.
You ready to get saved?